Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. And, of course, we're always on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And if you want to stay in touch with us here on Good Things, the best way to do that is over on the Good Things Facebook group. We say it all the time. If you're wasting your life over at the Book of Faces just scrolling, don't doom scroll. See some happy things. And that's what we like to post there. Good headlines and fun conversation starters, which is one thing we've got going on today. This feels like the friday-est Wednesday ever with a holiday coming up tomorrow. And then whether you either get a long weekend or maybe you get two Mondays this week, I don't know. We're all looking forward to maybe a little bit of time off tomorrow. And so we're talking about the best patriotic movies that there are out there. A lot of times the 4th of July is a big weekend to get out and see movies because it's something to do indoors where it's cooler and it's air conditioned. But also it's that time of year over the weekend, starting probably even now till the end of the weekend. You're going to have all of your old sort of flashbacks to the good stuff will be on your TBSs, TNTs, all the sort of, I guess, cable type places. I don't know. I'm sure some of your streaming services will kick in some of the old stuff as well if you want to see it there. But we all have our favorite patriotic movie, so let us know what that is. 601-879-4395 on the C Spire text line, or, of course, over on the Good Things Facebook group. So, Rhino, do you have like a go-to patriotic movie?
It kind of depends the mood. Like if I want to get fired up and feel patriotic, like if it's the night before a big soccer match and I need to get amped up or just want to be excited, then something like Independence Day, just to get to that final speech. Today is our independence, like that whole thing, just to give you goosebumps. Or if it's more like celebrating Independence Day tomorrow, I may pull out something that has a little bit more significance or meaning or something like The Patriot or Hacksaw Ridge or The Sands of Iwo Jima or something like that.
You stole mine, and the Patriot is if I want to cry. That's so if I've seen a movie before, I know whether I'm going to cry or not. So then it kind of becomes like when I'm scrolling through and want to stop and watch something, it's like, what mood am I in? Which is kind of what you alluded to, too. Independence Day, it's hard to like turn it away unless I've got something else that I want to watch. I will put that on. It's classic. It just, it's almost synonymous with hot dogs and fireworks on the 4th of July. It can't not be playing tomorrow somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you can obviously find it to stream, but I mean, if you have any form of cable, you can't. It's just
our generation. Maybe the younger generations cannot empathize with this at all. And maybe I'm just weird, but to me, flipping through the channels and finding a movie is so much more enjoyable than scrolling through a streaming service to pick one out.
Oh my gosh, I agree. And I always start there, unless I know that there's something out that I want to go watch, like from one of the platforms or that I've been watching, I go there. But there is just something that feels right but comfortable or nostalgic. I don't even know if nostalgia is the right word, but just comfortable with picking up whatever. And even now, many of your streaming, many of your cable outlets are apps. So, I mean, it's not the same as it was for us growing up, but just sort of thumbing through and just you get what you get. You don't throw a fit. You got to pick something out of the top 10
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, when it pops up the little option, would you like to start over?
No.
No, I'm starting right where I jumped in.
I appreciate the commercial breaks because I have to go to the bathroom or I want a snack or I get distracted with the kids or whatever it may be. So you like kind of like those built-in breaks and you rush back to sort of get lost in it. So I agree with that. And usually it's the good stuff. Usually the stuff that makes it onto the cable networks are the ones that stood the test of time that, you know, that people like because they're not just going to throw anything out there. And it's sort of those classics that you had seen in the theater or wish you'd seen in the theater or saw a thousand times.
Like my first exposure to the movie Red Dawn was just catching it late night on TBS or TNT or one of those. And it's like, where has this movie been my whole life? Oh, right. It came out before I was born.
I stopped on Twister. This was a couple of Saturdays ago, like thumbing through. And it was already, it was at the part where they go and, what's her name? The aunt whose house crashes down and they save the dog. Anyway, it's the, whoever the aunt is, the person, not the animal, in the movie.
That's aunt Meg.
Meg. I was like, I knew it was an M. Meg. And then she's like, we had no warning. And I'm like, okay, I'm hooked. So, like, I know how it ends. But, and there's only maybe 30 minutes left of the movie, 45 and collectively. But here I am. I'm sucked in. I'm locked in for that. Which I know that Twister's coming up in a couple weeks, or Twisters. I'm not sure.
The sequel.
The sequel to that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. On the Good Things Facebook group, as well as on the Ceasefire text line, we have several votes for The Patriot. The Patriot every time. Man, that was a good one, or is a good one, however you want to say it.
Oh, it'll always be a good one.
And it will make
you... no matter how off the rails Mel Gibson may or may not get, depending on where you lie, but the movie The Patriot, with him and Heath Ledger and Jason Isaacs...
The little things for
the bullets. It's so good.
It is so good. And it makes me cry every time. It makes me want to weep sort of thinking about it.
Another one in that same vein where if you're going to feel feelings, you're going to feel them at the end. Glory.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, I got to get ready to cry then. Jason says Rocky IV.
Yeah?
Is it? Yeah, it's if it's the one and then the five, that's
Rocky,
one,
right? Rocky 1 and 2 was him versus Apollo. Like, he lost against Apollo. Spoiler alert for the Rocky series, if you haven't seen it.
So, it's on
Rocky
you now.
Rocky 1, he loses. Rocky 2, he beats Apollo Creed. The third one, you've got the weird wrestling match with Hulk Hogan, but he's not Hulk Hogan, he's somebody else, and then he fights Mr. T. 4 is when it's America versus the Ruskies. It's Rocky versus Ivan Drago. And he goes to Russia with that crazy training montage in the snow. And then when he beats Ivan, I can change. You can change. We all can change.
Is that kind of the, Christmas movie that's not a Christmas movie that is a Christmas movie?
Die Hard?
Yes. Is that like the Die Hard of patriotic movies?
Mm.
Or is it more patriotic than Die Hard is Christmas?
It's more patriotic than Die Hard is Christmas. I'll give you that.
Okay. There you go.
It's a lot more of the political tensions between America and Russia and the Russian saying, I must break you, and Rocky being the Italian stallion, yeah.
If you're just tuning into Good Things, we're just having a little fun talking about the best patriotic movie that you've seen. You can let us know, Ceasefire text line 601-879-4395 or obviously on the Good Things Facebook group. My friend Brandon says 13 hours. I haven't seen that one, but I'm assuming it's got to have something to do with the mission.
Is that the one with the guy from The Office based on Benghazi?
It's possible.
I think that's the one.
Dan mentions Sergeant York.
Sergeant York,
Sergeant York.
It has probably been 2 decades since I've seen Sergeant York, but yeah, that's another good one from back in the day. And I'd have to say my favorite scene that I remember from it is him describing how he captured the enemy and how he based it on learning how to hunt turkeys, because he had them all lined up, and he's like, if you got the turkeys lined up, you don't get the one in the front, you get the one in the back, and then you go to the next one, and then the next one, until you get to the front of the line.
Wise words that I hope none of us ever need to use here on Good Things. Okay, Dan in Hattiesburg for the win. Forrest Gump. You could say that's a patriotic movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to the White House.
Several times.
Yes, absolutely.
I met the president again.
I can make it through Forrest Gump without crying, or I can bawl like a baby. That really depends on where we are on the emotional roller coaster that is being a woman. But that's one that I can stop and enjoy and, you know, and like certain scenes. And then, yeah, but you have to kind of want to be committed if you're going to. If you're going to watch
For me, the only, I mean, there are heart-wrenching moments in Forrest Gump, but the toughest one emotionally is him at the gravestone talking to her. Like, that should tug on anybody's heartstring.
We had no need for tears today. Rick from Starkville says Air Force One, another good patriotic movie. You can share yours.
Get off my plane.
Don't get off this dial. We'll be back in just a minute.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We're streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us, too, on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. You'll see I'm not alone in the studio anymore, and it brings me great joy because we have Princess Nalani Thompson. She's here to promote the 74th Annual Choctaw Indian Fair, which means a summer has officially started with the Choctaw Indian Fair. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Every year when you ladies come through, I'm always reminded at the sheer beauty that the princess is and what all it represents in terms of Choctaw's culture and community and how cool it is to have this conversation and remind folks that we have this incredible event that happens every year, 74 years, for folks to get out and sort of enjoy. So tell us about the Choctaw Indian Fair. Obviously, this is going to be number 74.
Yeah.
You weren't there 74 years ago, but what was sort of the idea behind the fair?
Well, so, you know, years ago, basically our tribe and our people, we used this time to celebrate the summer harvest. And so it was known as the Green Corn Festival back in the day. And basically at that time, that is when family members would come back home. If they've traveled out and ventured off and moved somewhere else, they come back home. And it was basically like a family reunion and fellowship going on for this event. And you know, even though we've involved attractions and, you know, many showcases like stickball, our arts and crafts exhibit, Choctaw social dancing, and, you know, Onsi Cove dinosaur exhibit, the Showy Discovery, which is a playground, and Tushka Village, which showcases traditional games, I mean, we still have that fellowship there. And where, like, some of my family members still come back at this time when the fair, like, I mean, my uncle was planning on coming down with his kids. They live in New Mexico. And so that's just one example that our people still fellowship, and this is a way for our families and our people to unite as one.
And two, and over the years, open your doors or just open it up for others to come in, to learn, to enjoy, to sort of get to see, you know, what it is to be there and sort of some of the things that you guys do on a regular basis. Talking about stickball.
Yeah.
That is intense.
It is. It is. And it kicked off last night, and it'll run throughout July 13th.
So explain if someone listening to Good Things, Nalani, has just heard stickball for the first time. How do you describe it?
So basically, it, you know, back then it was used to settle disputes. I need to give background history
yes,
for them to really grasp
uh-huh.
it. So back in the day, it was used to settle disputes among different tribes or even within our own communities. I mean, for territory reasons or, you know, many other reasons that involve needing that kind of war. Because that's exactly what it was for. It was war. And, you know, with just like anyone else, any other country, they go to war. That was our version of it. And so basically, it's known as the little brother of war for that reason and the granddaddy of all American field sports. And there are 30 players on each team. There's two teams for each game. And then nowadays it's played on a football field. And there are 2 4-by-4 10-foot poles and one on each end of the field. And like I said, there's two teams, 30 players on one team that go out at one time, and then 30 players on the other team that go out on one time. And there's basically, they're divided up in three sections, the defenders, the shooters, and the centers. And so basically the shooter's goal is to hit that pole there's a certain range that they have to hit. Defense, they're needed to tackle the shooters and the people who are trying to score and make sure that they get it to the other end. And the centers are make sure that they get it to their shooters so that way they can score.
Do people practice all year for this?
Some people do, but for the most part, practices can start from like February, January. It's usually when around springtime comes and it's not as cold anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, you know, they can basically get a good sweat and, you know, really, I guess, kind of get a feel for how it's going to be in the summer. Spring is kind of the closest to that. But we also go out to Oklahoma. It's really called Tuskahoma, which is basically where we play. Some of our players go to Oklahoma and play in a tournament there. And that's with, like, the Oklahoma Chalk Dolls because they host their own tournament at that time. And so, I mean, it is something that's played year-round, but this is one of our biggest events and biggest times where stickball is played.
And if it's something you've never seen before, you should, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When are those events taking place? Or the games?
The matches?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, that, like I said, they started yesterday, and they will run throughout our whole fair.
Yeah. Which the fair, I don't think we even mentioned, kicks off July the 10th through the 13th.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, 3 days of just nonstop fun and entertainment?
Yeah.
What do you guys look forward to the most this time of year when the Choctaw Indian Fair sort of comes around? What does everybody sort of get most excited about?
I mean, of course, stickball's one because it just brings everyone together. Uh-huh. You see visitors and families just sitting out in the crowd and, you know, supporting their family members on the field. Like me personally, my best friend and my mama, my daddy, my brother, they all play. And so I'm always on the sideline cheering for them. It's really exciting. And so, of course, stickball. And then the pageant, that's an anticipated event of every year. They're like, just basically excited to see, you know, which girl is like, okay, let's see who wins and this and that. Like, it's a really exciting time for that. And, of course, we get to embrace our culture at this time and showcase it to those who don't know anything about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe, you know, like the arts and crafts exhibits, you can go to our local pavilion. You can see artisans making their own creations. And they're in the progress of making it while they've got a table laid out of what they've already had done. And then that's the same in our tents. And on our arts exhibit, it will showcase, you know, for our 4-H group. That's basically where our youth can present what they've created as traditional creations. And so, I mean, it's really the best time for us to get to embrace that culture, even though we do get to do that year-round. Like, we have our spring festivals, and all of our kids, they'll dress up in their regalia, and they'll present dances with all their friends and their family and parents and grandparents there. And so things like that, I mean, it's just, we just look forward to it because we know, like, yes, this is our time to show who we are as a tribe.
And again, if you haven't ever been, I totally encourage you to do it. It's a little hot, but that's okay. It's July. It's going to be hot everywhere you go in Mississippi in July. But it's something that you won't ever forget. And it's obviously something you walk away with, learning something new for sure. When does the pageant take place?
The pageant will take place next Wednesday, actually. So it's officially a week away. And the pageant is always the first night of the official fair. And that is where I will be doing my final farewell. and then I will get to crown the next princess. And so it's a real exciting time.
So we have Miss Mississippi and others on here talking about their pageants, and it feels like this one's a little bit different. They may hear pageant, but mm-hmm. I feel like you guys have it set up where it's more about who's representing your culture, who's representing your tribe out into mm-hmm. the world for the next year. And it looks a little different. I don't know if there's the same kind of aspects of the pageant as there are in traditional pageants.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about like what makes it a little bit more unique and special.
Well, like you already said, you know, we embrace that cultural aspect because, you know, essentially as a princess, you are the ambassador of your tribe. And so, of course, what that means is, I mean, as for my experience, I've been traveling, you know, I'll go around my local communities and our tribe and I'll do welcomes, I'll do prayers, and sometimes I'll have to be in conferences and maybe do a little welcome there. And I get to sit in these important meetings and as well as getting to speak in front of kids. So it's like, of course, when someone doesn't know anything about us, I'm like, I get the opportunity to tell them that. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have to be ready for anything. And, yeah, with the pageant, I mean, they kind of prepared you for that because mm-hmm. in the pageant, we've got a banquet. I mean, of course, these start practices, I want to say, in June to get here in July. And so there is a congeniality party. They've also do a banquet where they get to meet the judges, and I'll be there, too, with them. And they'll get to introduce themselves in front of the judges, as well as the day before the pageant, they do an interview with them. And that accounts for a good amount of points, I would say. And then at the beginning of the pageant, this doesn't count for any points, but they get to introduce themselves to everybody in the crowd of who they're representing and, you know, like welcome and basically introducing themselves and who they're representing. Then you go to the personal presentation part, which is you're showcasing what is basically special to you and particular to you about being Choctaw. It could really be about anything. And for the most part, people talk about adversity, but in my experience, I kind of talked about how I've got, I'm part of a legacy of drum makers, bead makers, dressmakers, and I even got the opportunity to make dress and bead set myself. And
which,
so,
if they're watching on Super Talk TV, they see that your dress is beautiful and your bead work also.
Yeah.
We've got more with Princess Nalani coming up next here on Good Things.
But I'm taking you uptown tonight. Might have a little mud on my wheels, but they gonna shine with you up inside. Gonna hit. The dust right off them tonight. Got a little dirt on my boots. Got a little dirt on my boots. Got a little dirt on my boots.
From the SeabrookPaint.com Weather Center, I'm Bob Sullender. For all your paint and coating needs, go to SeabrookPaint.com. Today, a 50-50 shot of rain, sunny skies, high near 96. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 78. Your Independence Day, a slight chance of rain, mostly sunny, high near 95. And for your finally Friday, a 60% chance of rain, mostly sunny, high near 94.
This weather forecast has been brought to you by our friends at RJ's Outboard Sales and Service at 1208 Old Fannin Road. RJ's Outboard Sales and Service, your Yamaha outboard dealer in Brandon.
Dr. Michael Carter is excited to continue his dental practice at Old Town Dental in Ridgeland. Old Town Dental, located in the center of Ridgeland, with state-of-the-art general, restorative, and cosmetic dental services. Dr. Michael Carter and Old Town Dental combines modern dental techniques with a traditional and compassionate approach. Let us brighten your smile. Google Old Town Dental or call 769-567-1000.
The one body shop that's always believed in using OEM parts and repairing vehicles to their original factory condition is Clinton Body Shop. Auto accidents are stressful, and the last thing you need is a repair that devalues your car and makes it unsafe. In a time when more than ever, insurers are pushing consumers to body shops that work for them and not you, we want to remind you Clinton Body Shop believes you deserve to have your vehicle returned to its pre-accident condition. That's why we use OEM parts and OEM repair procedures. In fact, we're trained and certified by more automakers than any body shop in Mississippi. So remember, it's your right to choose where to get your repair. So choose Clinton Body Shop in Clinton or Richland. As our founder always said, we really do take pride in perfection. Go to ClintonBodyShop.com.
At Key Constructors, our mission is to build a legacy that will stand the test of time through hard work, dedication, and pursuing excellence. Key Constructors is a heavy civil construction company, a leader in the bridge construction world. Our goal is to provide a positive work environment for you to grow personally and in your career. We are proud of who we are and what we do, making it happen one bridge at a time. Come join our team of Black Label Bridge Builders. Check out Key Constructors on Facebook and other social media platforms and KeyConstructors.com.
At the Citizens Bank, we believe in the power of community. For over 115 years, we've been providing excellent products and services to our customers. But our commitment to this community goes beyond banking. From supporting local schools and charities to event sponsorship, we've always been invested in making this region a better place. So whether you're looking for a new checking account or a loan, come to the Citizens Bank. We're more than just a bank. We're your neighbors. The Citizens Bank, in your corner since 1908. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Caleb Sailors, and you're listening to Super Talk Mississippi News. A Calhoun City alderman and another man are accused of beating a person and stealing from the victim. Ward 2 aldermen Tony Herod and Marcus Hankins face aggravated assault and strong-armed robbery charges. Authorities say the incident happened Sunday night on the Calhoun City Elementary School campus. Surveillance footage from the scene helped law enforcement identify the suspects. The victim suffered several broken ribs and has since been released from the hospital. Herod and Hankins were both given a $10,000 bond. Police are investigating after a man was shot multiple times in a North Jackson neighborhood. The gunfire rang out in the 5900 block of Lake Trace Circle in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Detective Tommy Brown says the unidentified male victim was taken to a local hospital for treatment. His condition is currently unknown. Authorities have not released any details about a possible suspect. Anyone with information about the shooting can contact the Jackson Police Department.
This is professional ballplayer and former Mississippi State Bulldog,
Jake Mangum.
To be a strong team, every player has to be dedicated. Farm Bureau is exactly that. Their dedication to providing me with excellent customer service and competitive rates is outstanding. If you aren't already on the team, it's time to join Farm Bureau. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance. Or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Because of Palmer Home for Children, my three sisters and I are able to grow up together.
When there was nowhere else for myself, my brother, or my sister to go, there was Palmer Home.
My brother and I came to Palmer Home when I was 2 years old. Palmer Home for Children is my home.
The 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon on Super Talk Mississippi on Thursday, July 11th, making children's lives whole again. Tune in and make a difference to a child in need.
Upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but I encourage you to head on over to Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device because we're continuing our conversation with Princess Nalani Thompson. She is here to promote the 74th Choctaw Indian Fair, and she's absolutely stunning in her wardrobe, Thank you. All handmade, right? From the tippy top to the very bottom, yes. Which is very traditional for the Choctaw culture to handmade things, which I just, I love. It's so personal. And then it's also the quality of it. It just has such meaning. So for those that are watching at supertalk.fm or at Supertalk TV, kind of walk us through. You don't have to go through every bit of your garment, but kind of explain the significance and maybe a little background on who provided your outfit.
Yeah, so the significance is basically this is what our women, our Cheta Ohoyos, wore, I mean, for generations. And so we as the princess, it's honorable because, you know, the elders who used to wear these, they look at us and like, yes, our culture is still preserved. And then our young ones look up to us and they aspire to wear the same thing. So it's really something that I carry with honor and pride. And so who made the dress? This one specifically, I've got, I want to say about 10 others because, you know, in, within our tribe, they like, sometimes they'll be like, hey, if you need to borrow a bead set, I'll let you borrow one. Or, you know, other princesses will be like, hey, I got a dress for you if you need it, that kind of thing. And so I've got some ones that I already had and that they've gave to me. So the dress was made by Maritza Garcia and the bead set is by my mother, Kaylee Jones. And then the crown was made by J. Drew Bell from the Standing Pine community. And the sash is by Miss Tashaya Williamson.
All beautiful. And during the pageant, you all wear traditional wardrobe during it. And you have a special story connected to your pageant wear, pageant dress.
Yeah, so actually both for personal presentation and traditional wear. You know, I mentioned that there's, you know, events in the pageant that account for points and what the judges score on. And basically personal presentation, I got to wear a 18-year-old dress, and it was the last dress that my late great grandmother Rosie Wesley made, and it was made for my mother. But my mom didn't get to wear it that next year when she was going to run for princess. So when it came up that I was about to run, my mom was like, "Hey, I've got this dress that my mom made. Like, I think you should wear it. Tried it on, perfect fit." Oh. And so I went on stage with it. No one wore it prior to me. And then the bead set that I wore was made by my mother, and her mother. So it's a three-generational set, which is very special to me. And then the traditional wear, I got the opportunity to showcase what I made. So I made the dress and bead set for that portion.
How old were you and Alani when you started learning these cultural traditions in terms of making beads, making dresses, those type of things? Like, when did you get pulled over and started being shown how to do that?
Yeah, naturally, I've always been around it. My aunties, my grandmother, my mom, they have all done it. And so I kind of grew up watching it. I didn't really start making anything till I was about maybe, I want to say, 9 is my earliest memory of it. And that was just like little earrings that I'd sell with my grandmother. And then my first collar necklace was when I was about 12. There's even a article from Meridian Star, and I'm in that one where I'm in the pavilion during fair, actually still making my collar necklace because I dance every year, and so that's what I was making it for. And it's really a good time, and I started at a young age, I'd say.
And if people come to the Choctaw Fair, then they can see all of these great things that are being made. The artistry, you mentioned people making baskets there. Mm-hmm. The earrings and the jewelry, I know, are also out for display and show. You can also shop. There will be vendors, right? Like for folks that want to sort of enjoy. I know the bags are beautiful, and that is a steeped in tradition there in the Choctaw community. Mm-hmm. Do they teach how to make bags, or is it more of like you get to watch, and then maybe if you would like to have one, you can purchase one and bring it home?
They don't teach you, but you do get to watch, kind of see the process just a little bit, and then you can buy one. I mean, that's the same with all of our vendors in the pavilion. The arts exhibit is just for just to show you. And then with the tents, you'll see artisans in there making their things, you know, kind of what I mentioned before, the vendors in pavilion, you can buy them. And then there will be areas where you can buy souvenirs that have our emblem, the NBCI emblem on them, and it's everywhere. And I encourage y'all to looking to get in something.
So it's July 10th through 13th, and it's the Choctaw Indian Fair. This year's theme is the Choctaw Spirit Lives On. What does that mean to you guys? Why was that theme chosen?
Well, I mean, you know, in later years, you know, it's kind of where we're trying to keep tradition but also modernize at the same time. So for this, it means dear to us because we're basically showing that we are still preserving our culture. And that's really the whole point of it. And That is really why it's important to us, because we want to make sure that it doesn't get lost in history. And for every visitor that comes, it will be, you can see, it's evident that we still embrace our culture.
Even the food.
Yeah.
So, like, what is classic Choctaw food like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there will be some local food makers who will have stands out there, and it's called Iempa Village, and there will be other food trucks that people, you know, local food trucks will sell things, but we've also got traditional food there, such as Indian tacos. Have you ever had an Indian taco?
No, explain no. it. I like a taco, though.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I mean, the taco part is there, but with the instead of a taco shell, we have a fry bread, and the fry bread is basically about this big, doughy, fluffy, and it's just amazing. It's got a little hole in the middle. I don't know. That just always sticks out to me whenever I tell people about it. And it's just so airy, an airy dough. It's not necessarily bread, and it's just fluffy, almost like a biscuit, mm-hmm. but fluffier. And then you have your ground beef. You have got your lettuce, tomato, sour cream, cheese. And some people like to cut it. I just pick it up and eat it. That's how I've always done it. But my personal favorite would be hominy and fry bread. So I already explained the fry bread portion. But the hominy, it's my favorite because it's nostalgic to me. I remember my grandmother making it outside. And, you know, it was just always a good time. And me and my family, I mean, it's just a family favorite. And for every other family, like, I'm sure they can have their earliest memory of eating hominy and fry bread. And so I encourage everyone to check out both. I mean, we've got some amazing food makers who really put their all into it to make it best for you visitors.
We have a text that came in, Alani, that says fry bread tacos are the best. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would think, man, if you're going to go to the Choctaw Indian Fair, you need to at least have some of the traditional food and see the stick ball and watch the dancing and sort of immerse yourself. But you can also go for other fun like concerts mm-hmm. and things like that. So if we are wanting maybe a little bit more entertainment, what's on the concert docket, or how can we find that out?
Yeah, so the first Wednesday is dedicated just towards the pageant, but Thursday through Saturday we'll have those concerts. And Thursday, Michael W. Smith will be performing. He's a Christian artist. That Friday is I Love the 90s Tour, and it'll feature Blackstreet, Montel Jordan, Young MC, and Rob Bass. And then that Saturday is Tyler Hubbard, and he's a country artist.
Oh, I looked at Rhino as soon as you said the 90s. I was like, yes, and poor you. You probably wouldn't even know the – when were you born?
I was born 2006.
Oh. That'll make you feel old real quickly. You should never ask a young princess what year she was born. So, yes. So, but the 90s thing, I mean, I think there are a lot of folks who are like, oh, man, that sounds like a lot of fun. That was back in my heyday, as they would say.
I know. My mama said the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
She was like, are y'all kids going to be out there? Y'all going to be acting wild? I said, mama, this is y'all's moment. We lit, like, I promise. You won't see many people. I mean, I listen to it, but I think it's important, you know, like you said, in your generation, like, y'all listen to a bunch of 90s music. I love it, too, but
you have your own generation. I get that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all got it. Y'all good.
Is it something if we come for the concerts, do we need to bring, like, lawn chairs, blankets, or is it stadium?
I suggest it when you come. Just make sure you have a long chair. Maybe have a raincoat because it does rain every now and then. But, I mean, for the most part, it doesn't. So you have an umbrella, raincoat, bring your long chair, because most of the time the bleachers are packed. There's no mm-hmm. room. And so at the bottom, the ground part, you can set out chairs everywhere around the concert.
If we want to see the whole lineup for the Choctaw Indian Fair, Nalani, where do we go to do that?
Y'all can just search www.choctawindianfair.com, or y'all can go to Facebook and search up Choctaw Indian Fair, and you'll see a little slideshow, a preview. My face and my friends, the first, second alternate will pop up, chief, sports, all that kind of stuff. And you can get to see a preview of what will go on in our fair. And then if you're looking for tickets also, because I know people are curious about that, you can get them at our fair, but if you want to pre-order, you can do it online by eTix, and then you'll find the season passes and day passes for kids and adults.
I know you'll be giving away the crown come July the 10th, but that's not where your story ends, Nalani. Where are you headed next?
I'm going to the University of Southern Mississippi.
To the top!
Yes. is.
You chose the best in the state. I appreciate your time today, Nalani. I encourage everybody to get out, enjoy the Choctaw Indian Fair. That's the 74th annual that's coming up July 10th through the 13th. But stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things, streaming live over supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have taken time to download that. Always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV, and don't forget, too, our Supertalk Mississippi news team is bringing the news to you wherever you are. And, of course, you can catch them on nearly 50 stations across the state. But you can now find them on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Go to supertalk.fm/news on the go to keep up with what's going on across the state. And if you're over at supertalk.fm and you're looking for good headlines, hit that lifestyle tab and you'll always find the more upbeat things to talk about. And you'll see that two Mississippi Gulf Coast anglers have broke the state saltwater fish records, which I think is pretty cool. I don't know what narrow one of these fish are, but... Kudos to them for breaking the record. Nathan set the all-tackle record for golden tilefish with the fish weighing 23 pounds and 3.2 ounces. And Mark, he did the all-tackle record for permit with a fish weighing permit. Is that the name of the fish? Permit? P? I don't know.
No,
weighing fish 11 pounds and 11.2 ounces. It was a different kind of fish. But anyway, you can go read it over at supertalk.fm. I think that's cool. Saltwater fishing, or deep sea fishing, I guess they would also call it, is on my bucket list. There's no I have been, my parents took me when I was real little. It was more for them and my half-brother who's older at the time. I did not get to, like, fish. I got to stand there, watch, be a part of it. There's pictures to prove it, but, like, I want to go and enjoy it and be part of it, and it's just never worked out in any of our trips down to do it.
I've gotten to do it a couple times, and I would have to say, if you're going to go deep sea fishing, if you have any chance of saving your coin and splurging on one thing for your vacation, make it that. There are ways you can go deep sea fishing on a big boat where there's like 100 of you and you're lined up down the sides of the boat, and nothing against those people. It's a much more affordable way to do it, so you get the experience, but more than likely what you're going to catch is a hook from the other side of the boat. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you're just fighting somebody on the other side. You think you've got something and you wasted part
That's
of your
awesome.
Time.
That would happen to me.
What you should do is you can do this with a small group of friends. You can pool your money. You can take the family or whatever. But go get a chartered boat where the captain of the charter is going to be the one taking you out. They're going to be helping you with the fish. They're going to be giving you pointers. The good ones are going to be putting you on the fish where they have spots. They know where they can take you. It's going to cost more, but it's so much more enjoyable. That's an experience.
And then you wind up on a movie like Jaws. Yeah, and that how that kind of went down.
Or Gilligan's Island.
Or Gilligan's Island, either one. Speaking of movies, we're asking you, what is the best patriotic movie? You guys are sharing that over on the C Spire text line as well as on the Good Things Facebook group. And we've got several. The Patriot, obviously, is keep coming in. But Saving Private Ryan, another entire just make you sob, Iron Eagle, Top Gun, and Apollo 11. So it's not always, like, patriotic doesn't have to necessarily be war, sort of military. It can also...
Well, I mean, Iron Eagle and Top Gun are both...
Yes, but Apollo 11's
military.
Not. And neither's Rocky IV. Rocky IV is not. Apollo 11's not. Forrest Gump does have its moments in there. But Janet threw a curveball. She said Die Hard. It's also a great Christmas movie. Is there, like, how would you make that patriotic?
Well, I mean, it is an American police officer taking on international terrorists on his off time.
So could we add in Liam Neeson's
with the help of other American police officers? But.
Okay. Well, we could always make the case for it. April Morning. I've never heard of that one.
It's a new one to me.
Of course, Independence Day, Jared mentioned. Aaron and Meridian said Glory, which was one that you had mentioned earlier as well. But whatever you do this weekend, or I guess I say this weekend, listen to me. It's really not this weekend. For some of us, many of us, we'll be right back at it. Come Friday, it's that weird, I don't know, you just get this random day off to enjoy with your family and friends outside because it's too hot. And then Friday, you're like really going to, you're going to be physically at work, but you're going to be totally cashed out that you might as well have called in. Don't call in. No, I'm not telling anybody to do that. They're going to know, by the way. If you call in sick on Friday, it's like, yeah, right. You know, I mean, you may be, but it's going to be like, oh, come on.
Sorry, boss, I can't come in today. I'm suffering from too much freedom.
Aaron and Meridian said Air Force One, Glory, The American President. Oh, that was a good one. Another of Band and Brothers. Don't forget the conversation never ends over on the Good Things Facebook group. We would love to have you there, but stick with us. You got more talk coming up next with the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here Friday at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.